Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Valorous Effort by Michael Anderley. Narrated by P.J. Oakland. Chapter 1. Jana twirled the stemmed glass in her fingers and tried to savor the moment. She'd fantasized about this day many times since she'd left Philippe a month ago and in the years before that. What had she ever seen in him? She knew the answer to that question. Philippe could be incredibly charming. He knew how to make anyone smile, and he frequently did so when the person in question had something he wanted. Philippe had used those skills to become his father's sole heir, making sure both of his brothers got only a pittance of the family fortune and no stake in the business. He was also able to keep the board and investors of Girard Industries happy, even when quarterly profits weren't what they had been under his father. When Jana had first met Philippe, she'd been young and out on her own for the first time, afraid to capitalize on her good looks. More than anything else, she wanted to fade into the background. As a waitress, her beauty was a double-edged sword that ensured she got more tips, and more than occasionally, subjected her to groping or patrons waiting outside the restaurant at the end of her shift. Philippe had been kind and understanding. Or she thought he had been. He offered her a ride home after one of her shifts, swooping in like a hero in a story. And he'd been so self-deprecating despite his good looks and fortune that she'd felt comfortable agreeing when he asked her out on a date. She knew now that she'd simply had something Philippe wanted. He wanted Jana all to himself. It happened slowly, easily. Asking her to call out for her shift so she could stay in his secluded mansion, always protecting her from the prying eyes of the paparazzi, offering to let her stay with him temporarily when someone broke into her apartment. Temporarily had turned into permanently, and the peaceful seclusion of their life together had turned into a gilded cage. Jana didn't have to worry anymore about making rent or getting groped by strangers. Instead, she had to worry about the fact that Philippe's moods changed on a dime, that he would yell at her for the slightest mistake if he had board members over to dinner, and that he never wanted her to leave the house anymore. And the threats. She flinched at the mere memory of them. At first, he'd never spoken them. Philippe had simply become more and more difficult to please. Then, when she began to draw away, the verbal threats started. She would be out on the street where she'd barely been making ends meet. He said it so stridently that she'd forgotten she was making her way just fine. She would be at the mercy of dangerous men. And the worst ones she didn't repeat to herself even in her memory. Now she wondered if he'd staged the break-in at her apartment. It was what had pushed her from enjoying the luxury and seclusion of his mansion to living there full-time and giving up her job. She'd never thought she would miss that job, let alone be glad to go back to it. It certainly wasn't fun, and her feet ached at the end of each shift, but it felt good to provide for herself. Even the simple pleasures delighted her. Speaking to a fellow waitress or planning to get a cup of coffee without having to ask Philippe first. Two figures caught her attention, one slender and one burly, and her breath caught. It was time. She sipped her drink as the two men walked over. Her contact had assured her there was nothing to fear, but Jana could hardly believe that right now. Philippe didn't make threats idly. He always followed through. No matter what her contact said, she had yet to see anyone stand up to him and not regret it. The two men stopped in front of the table, and Jana looked up last. It took everything she had not to swallow nervously.
"Hello, Philippe."
Her voice trembled slightly. For a moment, she witnessed every ounce of his fury. Then it melted away into a smile. Somehow that was even more chilling. How had she not seen how evil he was right from the start? Jenna. His voice was smooth. He sat, and for the first time she noticed all of the little things that didn't fit his image. He was the slightest bit awkward in his debonair movements. His hair had a bit too much pomade, and his face wasn't nearly as handsome as he pretended it was. His Rolex didn't fit. For all that Philippe tried to be one of the CEOs whose magnetic personalities transcended average looks, he wasn't one. He was someone who got what he wanted because he had the self-assurance of a kid who'd always been rich, and he'd learned to smile well enough, keep his temper under control enough of the time to make a good first impression. He looked at her. You know why I'm here.
I don't.
She felt a thrill at her defiance.
I told you I'm not coming back, so it must be some other reason.
The annoyance passed across his face again, but they were in a public place, and he wasn't going to show his true self here.
We both know you're going to come back.
His tone made her skin crawl.
So, you wasting my time by pretending you aren't going to is not making me happy.
I'm not coming back.
She looked him dead in the eyes.
You are.
He leaned close and beckoned to her, trying to get her to lean in. His face got ugly when she didn't.
You are, he repeated, because you know what will happen if you don't.
Jenna looked down at her drink and hoped like hell her contact knew what they were doing. Her life was about to be miserable if they didn't. Philippe said quietly,
I told you that.
I remember.
Really? Because you're behaving as if you don't.
He cast a look up at his bodyguard, who had to be the ugliest man Jenna had ever met. Jenna had only ever known him as Scar, because he refused to use any other name. A long, puckered, angry red scar ran across his face, making one eyelid droop shut. His perpetual scowl sat on a face that had been strained by steroids and party drugs until his skin was blotchy and every vein stood out. When he was cruel, as he delighted in doing, and as Philippe gave him ample opportunity to be, the look of pleasure in his flat blue eyes chilled Jenna to the bone. She'd known dozens of homely people, but Scar was the only one she'd seen who was truly ugly. He was the sort whose brutality made it impossible to tell how he looked when he was younger. Now he smiled at Jenna, and every hair on her arms stood on end. Philippe said casually,
I told you that if you didn't come back, I would give you to Scar here to do whatever he wanted. He has some very interesting ideas in that regard. And quite a few friends.
He sounded almost eager for Jenna to turn him down, so he could hand her over to the terror that awaited her. Surprisingly, Jenna felt a calm descend over her. Suddenly, her contact didn't matter at all. All that mattered was that she wasn't going back to Philippe. No threat would make her walk willingly back into captivity. She was over that. She sat a bit straighter and smiled at Philippe. He didn't like that.
I don't bluff, he warned her. You know that. I told you I would make you regret this, and
she cut him off almost casually.
My father always told me to believe others, so I did. I believed you. Now you should believe me. You have one chance to back off.
He stared at her, completely incredulous.
Or what?
He asked finally. A chair scraped next to Jenna, and a young woman sat beside her. Short and skinny, the woman must have been 90 pounds, sopping wet. but she didn't seem intimidated by Philippe or Scar. She smiled at Janna, brushed a lock of dark hair behind one ear, and leaned back in her seat with a smile. Philippe raised an eyebrow.
Her? He asked. Hell, I could break her on my own, if I didn't want to ruin my nails.
The girl leaned forward a little to look at his nails.
Yeah, you do have some douche hands going there.
Janna, who was sipping her drink, narrowly avoided snorting it up her nose. Philippe now looked apoplectic.
Don't mind me, the girl said cheerfully.
She sat back again and crossed one leg over the other.
I'm only here to see the show.
The hell with this,
Scar started, but Philippe held up one hand.
What did you do?
He demanded of Janna.
Did you call the cops?
His nostrils were flaring now.
You know the lawyers I have, girl. You know I know how to keep myself clear of the law. And you know they're never going to write me up, much less press charges.
I do know that,
Janna agreed.
Which is why I did not call the cops.
Enough!
Scar was tired of waiting. His arm shot out, one mottled hand ready to close around Janna's arm with enough force to snap it. Despite herself, Janna flinched. This was it. Her contact might have all the good intentions in the world, but they weren't going to be able to save her from... Scar's hand never landed. He was quick. Janna had seen how fast he was, but what happened next was over so soon that Scar not only didn't touch her, he didn't have a chance to scream. He was down on the patio the next second, out cold, and his arm was at an angle that made Janna gag briefly. The man now standing behind Philippe didn't look like he'd broken a sweat. He was tall and broad-shouldered, wearing the most low-profile jeans and a t-shirt she'd ever seen. She thought his pants had grease stains on them. Also tall didn't begin to describe it. Scar was a hulking mountain of a man, and this guy dwarfed him.
Hello,
the man said pleasantly to Philippe.
Who the hell are you?
Philippe demanded. He half stood before deciding that it would be too bad for his pride to stand and still have to crick his neck to look at the other man.
Not important.
The man pulled out the fourth chair at the table and sat between Philippe and the young woman.
Now that you've seen a demonstration of what my team and I can arrange, I suggest you leave this woman alone.
Philippe's face turned an angry purple.
Unless, of course, the man hadn't stopped giving his bland smile, you want to be in incredible pain.
When Philippe opened his mouth to spit an insult, the man reached out and casually, so casually Janna could hardly believe it, broke a single finger on Philippe's left hand. Philippe gave a blood-curdling scream. Janna finally noticed the complete absence of waitstaff and people on the nearby sidewalk. No one was coming to Philippe's aid. The man patted Philippe on the shoulder.
We'll be watching,
he assured Philippe as he stood. If you so much as text her again, you'll wish you'd never been born. It was time to go. Janna finished her drink, stood, and walked away between the young woman and the tall man. Her heart was racing. She'd never believed anyone could outflank Philippe, but she'd seen it with her own eyes. At the table, Philippe gritted his teeth and tried to keep from screaming again with the pain. On the ground, Scar stirred and moaned, and Philippe's pocket buzzed. He fished his phone out and hissed in pain again at the pain in his other hand. When he saw the screen, his blood ran cold. This phone had an unlisted number. Even Janna had never had access to it. No one should be able to get a message through. And yet, there were the words as plain as day. We'll be watching.
Chapter 2.
So? Farah asked when the group came in the back door to the kitchen. The woman was sitting at a rough table, hauled home a week ago from a garage sale. Her dark hair was back in the French braid she used when working on cars, and her shirt had engine grease on it. She still looked like a supermodel, which, in Angelina's opinion, was very unfair. Angelina gave her a thumbs up and slid into a chair. Farah had laid out sandwich fixings for everyone, which was good since all of them were ravenous. "Sorry we're late," Charlie told Farah apologetically. "We drove around a bit more than usual to make sure there was no one tailing us." "Don't worry," Farah said around a mouthful of sandwich. She held up a wrench. "If Terry somehow misses a home invader, I can brain him with this."
"It's good to have a backup plan," Terry agreed. "I sleep sometimes, after all." What Charlie means is that we drove around a bit extra before dropping Jana off. Wouldn't do for her ex to find her immediately, you know?
Terry says as if he didn't lay the bodyguard out flat and break the ex's hand, Angelina snickered. "I don't think he'll go looking anytime soon."
Farah poured herself a cup of coffee and settled back in her chair. "You all are too much. You get rich, and how do you celebrate? By white-knighting around punching douchebags." Angelina, Charlie, and Terry looked at each other.
"Why do you think we're rich?" Terry asked after a pregnant pause.
"I'm sorry, were you trying to hide that?" Farah looked at all of them. "I'm asking."
Terry scratched his neck awkwardly while Charlie busied himself with rearranging the shreds of iceberg lettuce on his sandwich.
"You haven't asked me to pay for any of the dozens of meals I've eaten here. None of you seem to have jobs, and you wander around pissing off rich people," Farah said finally. That's rich people stuff." Terry contemplatively nodded as he chewed.
"Okay, yeah, you have a point," Angelina admitted.
She squirted mustard onto one slice of bread.
"We have enough money for a while."
Terry snorted at the understatement. The fact was, they had enough money to outfit and run a small army for a while.
"Since you all thought you were being subtle, I suppose I don't get to ask how three unrelated people came into a shit ton of money all at once," Farah guessed.
Terry nodded. Farah lifted her mug to him.
Cool. "So, what else do people want to talk about?"
"Angelina's date,"
Charlie said through a mouthful of sandwich.
"Ow!"
He reached down to rub his shin where Angelina had kicked him.
"Not that,"
Angelina said flatly.
"Hang on now." Terry grabbed the mustard. "How did it go?"
"I can kick you too," Angelina threatened. "Don't think I won't."
"When you threaten violence, it only makes us curious," Charlie informed her.
He proceeded to pull his legs to the side to avoid a kick.
"He's right."
Farah sipped her coffee and raised an eyebrow at Angelina.
"You gonna kick me too? Because I have three sisters, girl, and you're playing with fire."
Angelina grumbled.
"So I'm the only one who gets kicked," Charlie said plaintively. "That doesn't seem fair."
"You brought it up," Terry pointed out.
All three of them nodded, then looked at Angelina.
She let the silence stretch and pretended not to notice, but between the four of them, there wasn't a single one who wasn't stubborn as an ass, as her grandmother would have said.
"Fine."
She wiped her mouth with a napkin and gave them a smile that promised violent retribution.
"He took me out for a burger, and he was a perfect gentleman."
No one spoke. They waited.
"What more do you want?" Angelina demanded.
"Are you going to see him again?" Farah asked.
"Do you think he's good looking?" Charlie asked. "What kind of burger did you get?"
Terry asked. He looked over at the other two.
Their questions first.
"I got a bacon cheeseburger."
Angelina popped a scrap of turkey into her mouth and smiled.
"It was yummy. The sweet potato fries could have been better, though. And I got a root beer. I was just really feeling like one, you know?"
"We can kick, too,"
Charlie told her with narrowed eyes.
Fine. "He's perfectly nice, and yes, he's hot. And no, I don't think I'm going to see him again."
"Why not?"
All three of the others spoke at once.
I don't know.
Angelina looked at all of them and threw her hands up in the air.
Well, I don't, okay? It's just a lot right now. First, there was the... Well, the...
She looked at Terry and Charlie, then jerked her head at Farah. Farah sipped her coffee.
If it would help, I can put my fingers in my ears and hum while you all decide what you want me to know.
Charlie snickered. No need. Terry cleared his throat. We take down people who... Let's say they're not nice at all, and most of them either aren't on the government's radar, or even the government was having trouble with them.
Shocking, Farah said dryly. The government? Incompetent? Next you'll tell me the sky is blue.
She smiled at them.
I'm not going to run off to tell anyone, don't worry. I guess I'm not overly surprised that the random stalker who attacked me wasn't so random after all. The thing is, well, I guess I get how that might interfere with marriage and children and all that if someone didn't know, but even dating?
Angelina drew a deep breath and let it out slowly.
The last guy I dated wasn't very nice.
Terry and Charlie both took a sudden and complete interest in their sandwiches. Not only was Angelina's last boyfriend not very nice, but he'd also followed them to Texas and teamed up with their enemy to take Terry down. When that hadn't worked out as neatly as he expected, he'd resorted to using hostages to try to get Angelina to get back together with him. That hadn't worked out for him either in a very permanent way, and Angelina still had trouble with it sometimes. Farah, to her surprise, nodded gravely.
I'm sorry. That can take time. It's a bit more complicated than that.
Angelina tried to keep the bitterness out of her voice. Farah leaned back in her chair and considered.
My grandmother used to say, all of the creativity and joy is in the good. Destruction is always the same. I like to think about that whenever I see someone tear something or someone else down or hurt them. They're all the same no matter how fancy they dress it up. You're already miles ahead of him, girl. Angelina managed a smile at that. That helped, Farah. Thanks.
Farah nodded.
I have to get back to work on that engine, or I won't get it done before heading home to dinner tonight. And I hate leaving projects unfinished.
She smiled at them all, dropped a kiss on Charlie's cheek, and headed out to the garage.
See? We all like her, Angelina said. Can't we all just be glad Charlie got her and kind of put me aside for a bit?
No. Terry gestured emphatically at her with a potato chip. No, we can't. We didn't go to all the trouble of setting that date up so you could ghost him, as the kids say.
First of all, you are terminally uncool, Angelina said with great dignity.
She smiled so sweetly that both men at the table relaxed, then said,
Second, what exactly do you mean, you set this up?
There was a frozen pause. Charlie had stopped mid-chew. Terry was looking at Angelina as if she were a very deadly type of poisonous animal.
Well?
Angelina asked after a moment.
Abort! Abort!
Charlie muttered out of the side of his mouth.
Charlie? Facts. Now.
I was not involved,
Charlie said forcefully. How loyal of you, Terry muttered.
Well, I wasn't. I was on a date with Farah. Terry only told me about it later, and you seemed to like the guy, and he liked you, so I figured, what was the harm?
No wonder you both knew about it so quickly, Angelina muttered. You set the damn thing up. I knew there was something off about it.
No, you didn't.
Terry spoke through a mouthful of turkey. He swallowed and tried again.
You're used to jerks putting you down. And when someone realized how awesome you were, it felt kind of weird. I didn't set anything up. All I did was give a nudge. You did like him.
Maybe I should set you up with someone and see how you like it,
Angelina suggested. Not really a... Look, I can't have children with humans. I think.
Terry stared off into the middle distance.
Yeah, I have no idea how I'd even test that.
You could try, Angelina said wickedly. World's full of women, buddy.
Don't you change the subject. That guy was perfectly nice. So unless you have a better reason than you should go out with him again.
And when I'm out of town for 3 months because I'm undercover in an illegal cyborg ring? Angelina asked.
We'll figure it out then is what, Terry said stridently. Stop finding problems before they crop up. Besides, what are the odds of finding another cyborg ring?
Just an example. Fine. Angelina cleared her plate. I'll go text him and set up another date. Would that make everyone happy?
Yes, Charlie said, including Farah. She feels guilty that you set her up and she couldn't return the favor. She'll be happy you're with someone.
Angelina smiled slightly as she left the room. The fact of the matter was, she didn't mind Tom's company. More than that, she liked him. More than liked. She really liked him. He made her laugh, he was cute, and he had the same sort of aimlessness she knew from her life. He was full of potential and had no idea where to take it. They'd wound up talking for hours, their beers and burgers mostly forgotten. Did she want to see him again? Absolutely. However, she'd only pulled her life out of the gutter a few months ago, and it wasn't like those months had been smooth sailing. She'd had people shoot at her. She'd taken down a serial killer who ate humans. Her ex-boyfriend had tried to get her back at gunpoint. Now she had a life she was happy with. She liked having Farah around to joke with. Terry and Charlie had already been the best friends she'd ever had, and they'd lucked out that Farah meshed so well with the group. Would another person have a chance of fitting in, much less being as low-key as Farah was about what they did? Not to mention that Angelina didn't trust her judgment anymore when it came to guys. Tom seemed nice, but what if he was another Javi in disguise? She knew Terry and Charlie would say that if he was, they'd take him down too, as they had with Javi. But Angelina didn't want that. She still had nightmares about her ex-boyfriend's body hitting the pavement. She still struggled not to feel guilty for killing him, even when she knew there'd been no other choice. The safest way not to wind up in that situation again was not to get into a relationship again. She slumped down on the bed and sighed. She was done living like this, though. Living with good enough and don't rock the boat. That was the thinking that had gotten her involved with Javi in the first place and had kept her involved with him. She wouldn't let it ruin this life, too. Tom had texted her yesterday, a quick check-in that she'd forgotten to respond to while they were planning the run-in with Jana's ex-boyfriend. Angelina winced at the timestamp on his text and wrote back, "Hey, sorry to miss you. Work got out of hand." She paused and stared at the cursor, which was blinking accusingly. In for a penny, in for a pound. She forced down the butterflies in her stomach and added, "Want to get another burger this weekend?" There. Not the best flirting anyone had ever done, but she could live with that. She nearly jumped out of her skin when her phone buzzed, only to see that it was a marketing email about mechanical keyboards. She flopped back onto the bed with a groan. She was going to be acting like an idiot until she heard back from Tom, and there was no way the guys weren't going to give her shit for it. Still, she smiled and relaxed. It was nice to feel an adrenaline rush about something that wasn't life or death.
Chapter 3.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?